Hello everybody, it's me, Charles23, back in our video. In this video, I'm going to be talking about the evidence of salvation. So besides someone flat out denying the gospel, how can we tell if somebody is really not saved, or if they are saved? How can we discern the liars from those who actually trust in Christ? Well, luckily the Bible actually gives us several simple tests so we can see whether or not somebody is truly born again. Now I want to clear something up at the beginning of this video so nobody gets confused. These are not things, the things I'm about to talk about, these are not things which you need to do in order to get saved. They are results of being saved. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit indwells us once we are saved. It says in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give thee another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." And then Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 15 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And once the Holy Ghost indwells us, it causes certain necessary changes in our mind and in our life, which always come with salvation. And I'll go into this a little bit later with some specific examples. But just know that I'm not saying that these things are things that you need to do in order to get saved. Rather, they're the results which happen after being born again, after being saved. Now, the main and the most important thing is that the saved believer needs to trust the Word of God, trust the Bible. Rather than denying it in their heart and rejecting it as unmeaningful, those who trust in Christ also trust in the Bible. After all, the Bible is God's Word, and so is Christ. The Bible says in John 1:1, "In the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then a couple verses later in verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." It's talking about Jesus Christ. The Bible has the same authority of Jesus Christ himself. It is literally the words of Jesus Christ. Those who truly trust in Christ will listen to his words. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 25 to 27, "Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." John chapter 8, verse 47 says, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." So if you meet anybody who claims to be saved, and yet they don't listen at all to God's word, then they're not of God. It's simple. That is the reason why, that is the reason given here in John chapter 8 by Jesus of why the Pharisees refuse to believe, because they're not of God. John chapter 8, verse 37 says, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So those with the spirit of truth will listen to the preaching of God's word. Now, hypothetically, if a man says, "I trust in Christ," and yet you show him a doctrine in the Bible and he refuses to believe it, even when it's crystal clear, then he's not saved. Now, there are some things which people believe which might not be as clear in the Bible, which might not be as clearly taught. For example, interpretation of prophecy. To say someone isn't saved because they believe in a different timeline for the end times than you do is ridiculous, because those timelines are usually pieced together through careful examination of hundreds of passages and verses all throughout the Bible. There's no one passage in the Bible that just lists everything out in order of when it's going to happen clearly. So that's not something which you should really argue about. But when it's clear doctrines which are taught over and over again in every single book of the Bible, that's different. And now that I read from 1 John 4:6, which is the last verse I read, I want to turn my attention to the book of 1 John in general, because that entire book was written for the purpose of actually providing evidences for salvation. Towards the end of the book, John wrote in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." So the purpose of writing this epistle was to give people the assurance that they were saved by both preaching the gospel and laying out several effects of salvation. This book touches on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as well. It says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." So when we receive the anointing of the Holy Ghost teaches us. This is the same thing that Jesus promise in John chapter 14, verse 26, where he said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So another evidence of salvation is that they learn and grow in their faith through the reading of God's word. If you truly trust in Christ and the Spirit of God, you have the Spirit of God living inside you. That same Spirit will teach you the meaning of things which are otherwise hidden, as the lost cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. The Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And yet those who are saved, those who are not the natural man, those people who have been born again, they receive the Spirit of God. They are taught by the Holy Spirit. It does say in 1 John 2:27, "It will teach you, you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things." And give an example from my personal life in the matter of the Trinity. When I got saved, I had already denied the doctrine of the Trinity for over 2 years. I don't know exactly when I started denying it. I don't think I ever actually believed it in my life before I got saved. And I thought it was foolishness, and I used as many verses as I could to try to prove it wrong. However, since then, I've seen where the Bible clearly teaches the doctrine, and I've changed my mind on it. It's like there's been a veil that's lifted over my face, and I can clearly see the doctrine in the Bible now. It's just everywhere to me. But before I was saved, it's just, I read some of the verses, and I just didn't understand what it was saying. It just didn't make any sense to me. It should be the same for anyone who reads the Bible, for any doctrine. Okay, if someone says that they're saved, for example, if someone says that they're saved, and you show them the book of Genesis and Exodus 20 in the commandment regarding the Sabbath, where it says that God created the earth in 6 days, and other verses which talk about creation, and they decide to accept evolution and believe that the earth is billions of years old, instead of believing what the Bible says, what the Word of God says, then they're not saved. This, once again, ties in with Jesus' statement of, "He that is of God heareth God's words." He that is saved will actually believe what God has taught and what he says in the Bible. He will listen to him. Now, another evidence is that the saved person has love, especially a love for the brethren. Those with the Spirit of God in them will love other Christians who are our brethren, as it says in Galatians 3:26, "For we are all children of God," or "For ye are all children of God, by faith in Christ Jesus." Now, it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 12 to 13, "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." So it says that we know that God dwells in us by his Spirit if we love one another. Again, this is the result of the Spirit dwelling in us. This is a thing of the heart, a characteristic of those who have been born of God. The Bible also says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, "He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And then 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen?" So you out there, people out there, if you hate your brethren, and yet you claim to love God and to be of God, you're a liar. And you can try and deny that all you want. You can say that's what the Bible calls you. You can try to claim anything that you want. "Well, I do trust in Christ. I do believe." Well, the Bible says you don't, and I'm going to trust what God says and what the Bible says rather than what you claim, okay, about how you're saved or whatever, because the Bible says that people who hate their brethren are in the darkness and that they're not of God. The Bible warns about false prophets and false brethren's crept in unawares. I'm not going to trust everybody who claims that they're saved. Some people are liars. Some people are deceiving people. Now, one last evidence of salvation is guilt. So ask yourself, when you sin, do you feel remorse for the things which you have done? Does your mind resist and hate the things which you have done? Or do you delight in disobeying God and feel indifferent about the sins which you have committed? Well, the Bible teaches that those who are born of God do not sin after the inward man. It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 to 9, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. However, do not, and I repeat, do not, I guess, misinterpret what I'm saying. Do not think that this means that a person who is saved will never sin. Once they get saved, they'll just automatically stop sinning and they'll never do anything wrong again. That's not what this passage is teaching. This is teaching that our spirit, the new creature, will not spin or not sin. It teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and please ignore that dog. I don't know if you can hear that, but it's barking like crazy. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So the new creature is become new. The old things of our spirit is passed away. But even then, the Bible teaches that the flesh is not born again. And because we still have the flesh, the outward man, we can still fall into sin. Paul admits this in Romans 7. It says in verse 14 to 25, For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So we still have the flesh, and that is what causes us as Christians to sin. We still are carnal. We still have the flesh, which is corruptible, and we will have it until the resurrection, or at least until we die, I guess. But as an individual, as a soul, we do not sin, and that is the cause of the indwelling of the Spirit. So as Paul puts it, a saved person should, with the mind, serve the law of God, even if they might slip up and serve the law of sin with their flesh. If you delight in the law of God after the inward man, then you are saved. If you don't, then you're probably not saved. Now, for those of you who may think that you're saved, but you deny God's word, you never learn anything from reading the Bible, you don't feel any guilt you don't feel any delight in obeying God, you don't feel any guilt in disobeying God in your mind, and you hate your brethren, I advise you, instead of just being stubborn about it and bitter and arguing about it and saying, well, I'm saved because of this, this, and this, and this, or whatever, well, the Bible says that you're not, and it's probably likely that someone told you that you're saved because of maybe you just said a simple prayer, or maybe because you think you're a good person or something like that, but you're not actually putting your full trust in Christ. And I suggest that you get yourself saved, that you figure out what you need to do, what you need to believe in order to get to heaven. And if you want to know how to be saved, there are several videos that I have that laying out the gospel on this channel, and I'll put one or two of them in the description of this video, so please be sure to check them out. So these are evidence of salvation, which are given in the Bible. I thank you everybody for watching, and goodbye.